Today, the US women's soccer team takes on France in the quarterfinal of the Women's World Cup. The French host team, Les Bleus, is aiming for their first trophy, the US going for its fourth. We will be following the game, but let's talk about the women on the team and how they got here. Joining me now, Gemma Clark, a British sports journalist and author of Soccer Women, The Icons, Rebels, Stars and Trailblazers, who transformed the beautiful game. She joins me from New York. Gemma, good to see you. I know you're going to be watching the TV very soon, but thank you for your time.
Will. Thanks, Remy. Thanks for having me.
This US team, I mean, they're a remarkable. It's not just one team, but multiple teams over the last few years. What makes them so special?
This is an incredibly special team. They're the best team in the world. And defender Ellie Krieger, I think, said they've actually got the best two teams in the world because they have such a formidable squad. This team has really been built by the players in the USA from the 1980s onwards. This team has had to fight for absolutely everything. Historically, to fight for a wage, to fight to be playing in uniforms that weren't handed down from men's teams. And now the players that we have, they're global superstars. You could walk down the street in New York and there's a huge billboard of Alex Morgan, who plays up front for the US.
So let's pick out some of these players. Let's talk about Alex Morgan. Why is she special? What's her backstory?
She's an absolutely formidable player. She's the youngest USA player to score 100 goals. She has been a huge prospect from a very young age. She went and played in Lyon. She's played for the top teams in the world. But she's also got a huge following, and she's been in a movie that was basically about a poster of her coming to life. She's would be compared to the Mia Hamm of this generation.
Got it. Lindsay Horan, tell us about her.
An incredibly important player for the US, hugely dominant in midfield and really key to the success of the team right now. She was rested against Spain. She'll be back in today. As a young player, she was told to lose weight by one of her coaches if she wanted to succeed. And so she's really been open about that and fought to show that women of all shapes and sizes can be successful in sports in particular, and that her frame is incredibly important. She's incredibly athletic and a real presence for the USA, both on the pitch and off.
One of the challenges that the Women's World Cup has is the issues about sexism and how women are viewed, and some misogyny in the coverage. So there's always this element where you're not just talking about the sport, but you're also talking about the other issues that go with being a woman athlete. So there aren't very many mothers who are playing in this Women's World Cup. Why do you think that is?
I think it's very difficult to get the support, first and foremost, for women to return to playing after having had a baby. But there are notable examples. The USA has Jessica McDonald, who has returned to playing after having children. Sydney LaRue Dwyer is a US player who just had her second child, but she returned to playing after having a baby. And there are USA players who really paved the way for this, like Joy Fawcett in the 90s. She was the first player to campaign and to ask US soccer to give the players help on the road and have childcare. She told me a story about showing up to a game with her infant daughter. She showed up to the accommodation that had been provided and was told, oh, you know, you can't have a baby here. And so she's there to play and has nowhere to stay. And luckily, a local family took her in. So there, as I said, this team has been built by the players, and the players have paved the way and made it possible for mothers to be players at the top level.
So now Jessica McDonald, who's a forward on the US women's team, her seven-year-old is going to come watch her play over the next couple of days. And there's childcare. FIFA are paying for childcare.
It's incredible. And the efforts that the players who have come before made in order to make that possible, it's everything. And I think it's worth knowing that when you watch the games, that this really has been built by the players themselves. It wasn't built by the federations. The women who first began playing found the discrepancies and campaigned for better conditions, and that continues now with the US women's team taking US soccer to court, which is now in mediation, to ask for equal pay.
Let's talk about one of the big stories that came out of the US Women's World Cup team, and that was from the co-captain, Megan Rapinoe. She had a bit of a tussle with President Trump this week. What do you make of that?
I mean, she's an incredibly vocal advocate for equal rights. She was the first white athlete to kneel during the national anthem in support of Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, those are her values. And many other players on the team support her, and they happen to go against the values of the current administration. And it's fair to say that that tussle will continue.
So if you missed it, where were you? But basically, Megan said, I am not going, if we win, I'm not going to the White House. President Trump said, well, maybe you should win before you start deciding where you should go. And then this is how Megan responded to that.
I stand by the comments that I made about not wanting to go to the White House, with the exception of the expletive. My mom will be very upset about that. But I think obviously entering with a lot of passion, considering how much, you know, time and effort and pride we take in the platform that we have, and using it for good and for leaving the game in a better place and hopefully the world in a better place, I don't think that I would want to go, and I would encourage my teammates to think hard about lending that platform or having that co-opted by an administration that doesn't feel the same way and doesn't fight for the same things that we fight for.
Just looking at the history of women soccer players there, Gemma, do you feel that activism going hand in hand with how the sport is played and how the sport is advanced, is there any harm that can come from that tussle there between Megan and President Trump?
No harm at all. This sport is a reflection of what's happening in the world, and this soccer team is a reflection of what's happening to women in this country, and they stand up for what they believe is right. And it's hugely important if we're talking about setting an example beyond the sport for young girls and women. This team is showing them, yes, you can fight for equality and you can stand up and say, I don't believe that just simply because somebody is in power that it necessarily means that you have to kowtow to that. And so I think that she's demonstrating that. And as she said before, to her protest is a form of patriotism, and she's sticking true to the values of America that she believes are right, which is equality and truth and justice.
Beyond the US women's soccer team, there are, according to FIFA, billions of people watching this Women's World Cup. There was a tweet that I found just a few hours ago, and it was a youngster checking in with her dad. And her dad was been watching the Women's World Cup. And this is what he said. There's no diving or falling or faking injuries. It's just about the game. This is wonderful. Look at that save. Gotta go. Game is still on. Hashtag Lionesses. Lionesses is the England women's soccer team there. But I'm just wondering, Jim, are you seeing the women's soccer game internationally being boosted by this current World Cup?
Absolutely. The popularity is just growing. And in England, you know, the games have been broadcast live at the Glastonbury Music Festival. They're on in pubs. There's a huge amount of coverage in the newspapers. They're getting front page stories. There's a lot of support for the England women's team. And certainly here in the US, the US women's team has been incredibly popular for a long time and far more popular than their male counterparts. And you know, still so much rests on their shoulders. I think the bonus structure is still incumbent on their actually winning the tournament. So there's still a way to go, but popularity is increasing, and that's just a fantastic thing for the game and fantastic outcome for the efforts of not only the current players, but all the players that have gone before.
And finally, what do you think will be this legacy of this Women's World Cup 2019?
Gosh, I mean, it remains to be seen. I guess that's going to depend on what happens in the next few games.
You sound like a football commentator, Gemma. It remains to be seen. It's a game of two halves. Who knows what could happen?
Cliche.
Thank you so much, British sports journalist Gemma Clark. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.